consistently spoken from this platform, reminding us that who we really are is who God says we are. That God says that we are the very residence of the Holy Spirit, that we are the offspring of the Almighty. We are referred to as a peculiar people, that we should continue to call forth and bring forth praise to God in the midst of our circumstances. It's a peculiar thing to do in a world where people's circumstances and the shifts shift their mind. Because we are dedicated to holding on to the mind that is called Christ consciousness through thick and thin, through the valley and the mountaintop, this work never ends. I've said that we are, at any given time, acting out as not necessarily who God says we are, but who we say we are. That for all intents and purposes, we show up as who we think we are, and who we say we are, and who we act like we are. So even though God might say that greater is that God power within me than anything I encounter in the world, I also have a say-so in my experience of what is happening in the world. There are many times where I choose to think of myself not as someone who has within them a power, an almighty power, a universal power, a power that is greater than my circumstances. Although that is true, trust me, there are times when I shy away from that truth. And if you ask me to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth about how I feel, I will tell you that who I think I am is something other than someone with all of the power of the universe in them. I might tell you at certain periods that everything that's going on in the world represents a power, sometimes that is greater than my power or capacity to have peace. I can look at things in the political climate. I can look at things in the Mother Nature climate, and I can tell you that in this moment, I don't think of myself as being the vessel of all power, the one who has nothing to fear. There are times when I am thinking the opposite of what I instruct the people I'm speaking to think, which is that God is in heaven, that heaven is in me, that holy is my name, that God wants me to know I have nothing to fear, and that there is nothing and no one to blame, that I have been informed that my captivity is over, that I have been informed in truth I am free, and so it is. I've been preaching that, teaching that, since it came through me, which has to be about 20 years, maybe, ago. But you can catch me at moments where I really, really think that. And I really say that about me. And I act like that. You can also catch me in moments where I've nodded off, where I have forgotten the truth that sets me free. And in those moments, if I just tell my human truth to you, it will not be that there is nothing and no one to blame. It will not be that there is nothing to fear. So what I realize is that sometimes I'm awake to the truth that sets me free, and sometimes I nod off. Sometimes I fall asleep to the knowing of the fullness of the power that created me, sustains me, and allows me to believe in all things are possible. Sometimes I'm in the garden. Sometimes I slip out of the garden. Sometimes I'm out of the garden unconsciously and realize suddenly that I'm out there. And it's my intention to get back into the garden. I have also confessed to you that there have been times where I have consciously and on purpose gone out of the garden, rolled up my sleeves, put up my dukes, and had a battle with something I thought was outside until God reminds me, you're only shadow boxing. Everything out there that you are doing battle with is a reflection of yourself. You might see it as a dark reflection, but I'll tell you something about the shadow. If you are looking at the shadow, it is simply an indication that you have turned away from the light. The light is always there. It always has your back. Which is why the scripture says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days. But once again, there are some days where I don't remember that. Some days on purpose. And some days I just slip into a nod. I fall asleep. I am only awakened when that scripture awakens me, that tells me to awaken. Awake, ye who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Christ is within me. It is the truth of me. God is the ultimate height of who each of us is. There is no separation between you and the source of all good. You will remember this sometimes. You will forget it at others. If you're anything like me, when you realize you have fallen asleep, that you have forgotten, it is possible that you will begin a process that I would love us all to discontinue, especially as truth students, us truth people. We find ourselves slipping into negative thinking, stinking thinking, which my daddy would call it. We find ourselves slipping into scarcity consciousness. And one thing sometimes we tend to do, or at least speaking for myself, that I tend to do, is I will make myself wrong for that. I will say, dude, you've been into Unity since you walked into Eric Butterworth's church, like back in 1981. How long before you finally, every day, in every moment, remember the truth that sets you free? What is wrong with you? Sometimes self-condemnation follows a simple realization that I fell asleep and woke back up. I'm learning to be gentle with myself and to get the lesson that God would have me get. And that lesson never is beat yourself up. That lesson never is you should be ashamed. That lesson is never what's wrong with you that you go into moments of fear and anxiety. That lesson is simply awake again when you have fallen asleep and return again when you have wandered far from home. The Creator, all that is, recognizes each of us as the prodigal child that will at times wander away from the Father's house, from the consciousness of oneness with the Creator and all of creation. We will recognize that something is missing. We will recognize that we have been cut off from the joy of connection with our source, the joy of the understanding that greater is the power that is within us than anything we're encountering out there. It's simply, as the story of the prodigal says, one day this guy arises, gets up, and says, I will return to my father. The thing about that scripture that I didn't get for years was that it said, one day this guy who's wandering out there, disconnected from source, before he comes back to the Father, before he said, I can go home, the first thing it says about this guy is, one day he came to himself. When we come to ourselves, we have returned to the Father. When we come to ourselves, we have come to that understanding that what is one, and that God is all, in all, through all, expressing as all. I confess to my brother Lewis in the back when he said, "How have you been doing?" I said, "Brother, I had a 4-day trek outside of the garden." "How so?" "I had 4 days of feeling something was wrong with me and in some way feeling sorry for myself. I had heard from my mechanic that once again, my car needed another major repair. I have been asked over the years," my car is 17 or 18 years old, "I have been asked by many people, 'I see you spending money on this, that, and the other. Why don't you just replace your car?' And I said, 'You don't get it about me and my car. How I feel when people suggest that I replace my car, it's like I have two dogs, like Ike is one of my dogs and Keeper is the other dog. When somebody suggests I replace my car, to me it's like they're suggesting I get rid of Ike or Keeper. That car is a part of my family, but I don't care how many times I have to take it to the vet. I am not putting it down. I will spend the money. I will do what it takes. I might complain a couple of times, but I'm going to dig the money up. I am not putting my car down." So I had just spent over $1,000 buying office equipment that Timothy will tell you I did not really need. My birthday is October 16th. I decided I was going to give myself several birthday presents, including all this new office equipment, which I don't know how to use. I'm going to get it anyway. I want it now. I want it in my room. I want it to be there. The second step will be to find a specialist in teaching me how to use it. I've had it now for 1.5 months. I have not found a specialist yet. I'm still calling in one. I may not have one by the time my birthday rolls around, but I don't care. I'm ready when it's ready. So I had just spent this money on this equipment, once again, which I won't be using for a while. I did that right before being informed by my mechanic. I drove to New York. Timothy was in Puerto Rico with his wife, and I had a friend of mine from Massachusetts ride with me to Unity of New York, not the last time I was here, but the time before. And she called me up when we got home and she said, "You are sound blind and feel blind to what's going on with your car. We are riding to Manhattan in a rainstorm. Your car is rattling like any car, and I've never been in a car that rattled that much. There is this noise that is just constant. And you're riding along at 75 and 80 as though you're in a car that has no issues." I told her, "Well, maybe I have gotten nose blind and sound blind and hearing blind." And she said, "Your car doesn't sound safe." And I said, "Well, I'm sure it is." And she said, "How are you sure?" And I went, "Faith. Maybe you better call on a specialist." So that's when my mechanic said, "This is a big deal. The part alone," he said, "was going to be about $500. Now, mind you, as I told you, I've just spent $1,000 for office equipment. I do not have the kind of income some of you all, where you have this excess money hanging around in such things called savings accounts and stuff like that. I'm not one of those kind of guys. And so if suddenly there's a $500 bill, my computer brain has to go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. You got to find out how you're going to come up with this." So for 4 days, I was figuring out how to increase my income by $500 to buy the part to fix my car. I was telling God, "Hey, just so you know, it'd be a great time for you to send me $500 or something. Occasionally, I'll go to my mailbox, and sometimes it's somebody I haven't even preached to for 10 years, and I open up an envelope and there's a tithe check and they're going, 'Just thinking about you after all these years and how you affected my consciousness. Hope you can use this.'" So I'm telling God on Monday, It'd be an awesome time for one of those kind of things. I want more prosperity. I want more prosperity. That was my affirmation. God prosper me, and now is a darn good time to do it. And then I said, by the end of this week, I insist, because my word is law, I am your child, I can say it, and it is true, and the angels have to bring it to me. I insist that this week, my prosperity increases at least by $500. And I went on about my business. One day I went to Big Y. I believe it was on a Wednesday. Yes, it was. I had been talking to God for 4 days already. I went to Big Y on Wednesday, and I was telling myself, don't you go in there and get crazy. Don't go buying a bunch of food you don't need. I mean, that's your M.O. Like, you're not flush right now. You got to come up with this $500, blah, blah, blah. And so make sure you don't overdo it. And then I go into the store, and I'm consumed by... I am what I think I am, which is a guy who's lacking funds. I am who I say I am. I had been telling God and a couple of family members, I'm a guy who's lacking funds. And you are who you act like you are. I was acting like a guy with limited funds who was somehow cut off from the all substance of the Creator. I'm heading into Big Y. And as I'm heading in, there's all these people around, and they're handing flyers to everybody. They're saying stuff, too. And one guy says, your name, sir? And I go, Carlos. And when I say Carlos, he assumes I'm Spanish-speaking, so he just goes on and on in Spanish, so excited. And the only word I'm really picking up on is help. I you to me. And I'm going, oh, he's saying something about help. And then he's saying, thank you, thank you. He's thanking me for helping. I don't know how I helped him. Maybe my smile when I came through the door. I don't know. I go on in there. I do my shopping. I come back out. When I get in my car, I look at that flyer. Those people who were speaking to me in Spanish were people from Puerto Rico. This flyer had all of these ways that I could be helpful. It talked about all the food that is needed. It talked about the tools that were needed. If you have extra hammers, if you have extra nails, if you have extra screws, if you have saws, if you have lanterns, if you have flashlights, if you have batteries, if you have tarps, if you have bungee cords, if you have shovels, if you have buckets, if you have any household needs, do you have alcohol? Do you have peroxide? Do you have bandages? Do you have anything that your brothers and sisters need in Puerto Rico? Well, let me tell you something. I could not pull out of the parking lot right away. I was crying like a baby. Suddenly God answered my prayer, but not the way I asked for it. I was asking for material advance of $500 from the universe. God knew that my true need wasn't more money. My true need was a shift in consciousness to get out of thinking I was lacking, saying I was lacking, and acting like I was lacking. When I recovered and was able to keep on driving, I reached down into my pocket and said, how much do you have in your pocket that you were going to add on to accumulate $500? I realized I had about $84 in my pocket, and my consciousness said, that does not belong to you. You are rich enough to give it away. I drove to the dollar store. I went, can you imagine how much alcohol and peroxide and bandages and batteries you can get for 80-some bucks, dude? This money does not belong to you. I got bags of stuff and spent my money on it. Then when I got home, I was so excited, I felt like I was 20 years younger than I had felt for 4 days. I got boxes out that, thank God, I had gone to the grocery store and got so I could move some books, and I had gotten too many of them. I went through all of my bins that had my tools in. I was shocked at how many extra hammers and nails and pliers and screwdrivers and stuff I had. I had all kinds of electrical devices. I had things where you can plug 5 or 6 things in it in a row. I had hair dye for women to let their vanity get taken care of while they're trying to get the other things. I had all kinds of mustache paint because when I woke up this morning, my mustache was the color of Pamela's hair. This stuff is magic. You put it on, 5 minutes later, you rinse it off. You have a black mustache. How many dudes in Puerto Rico that use this stuff don't have it? I went into my pantries and I had so much cans of food, boxes and boxes of good canned food, so many boxes and boxes of macaroni and stuff. I'm the kind of guy that goes into a store and whatever is, buy 10 for $10, buy 10, get 10 free. I'm the guy they're talking to. My house was full of everything they needed. I boxed it all up. I put it in the living room. I walked and I looked at those boxes. I counted up. I know how much my stuff costs. I counted up the cost of all that food, the cost of all those medical supplies, the cost of all those tools. And dagnabbit, it was like God had slapped me upside the head. There was over $500 worth of food and goods and supplies for me to get to Puerto Rico. I thought I was tapped. I thought I needed $500. What I needed was to know my cup runs over. I have more food in that house. You would think that we were saving up for the end of days. I had more stuff in that house. I'm the guy that if I can't find my screwdriver, I just go buy six more. Same with flashlights. Over $500 worth of stuff. They said they'd have a big truck out there the next day and that would be the last day. Fill up your car, fill up your trucks with your boxes, bring it back. I cried that morning because I couldn't sleep that night, knowing that I am the richest man I have ever met. I am the richest man I know. I fell asleep to that for 4 days. The only good thing about falling asleep is waking up. I cried like a baby. I asked for forgiveness, that I could go that so deeply asleep that I could not see that God has given me everything and then some. Listen, I told you a month and a half ago, I'm not that guy to preach how to get rich. I'm not that guy to preach how you can become a millionaire. I'm that guy that is here to remind you through my own testimony that it's not about getting rich. It's about knowing you are rich. It's not a material change you need. It's a change in consciousness. To know that you have so much that, like me, you take it for granted. I know today that God is in heaven, that heaven is in me, that holy is my name. I know there is nothing and no one to blame. I know my captivity is over. I know in truth I'm free. I wasn't captive to the manifestation, but to my state of consciousness. I had left the garden and fallen asleep. 4 days later, though, on that day, he came to himself and said, I will arise and I will return home to my Father. Not a physical trek, a trek from here to here, which has been called in many New Thought churches the longest road the truth will ever have to travel, from here to here. Call in a special when you're in my circumstance, or if you are even in more dire appearance of circumstances, call in a specialist. My dad, from the Baptist tradition, hooked up with my mom from the Pentecostal tradition and learned her songs, and some became his favorites. These are the few lyrics which are appropriate to close my sharing today with regarding call in a specialist. It was one of Daddy's favorite songs, and he sang it with such a beautiful baritone voice that I can't believe we didn't save any of the tapes of him singing. The verse goes like this. Have you any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in the things we think impossible. And if we trust, God will do what no earthly power can do. It wasn't about me budgeting. It was about me waking up. It's not about manipulating circumstances. Remember, Marianne Williamson said manipulating circumstances is just like rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, thinking rearranging the chairs will stop the ship from sinking. No. The only thing that can stop that boat from sinking is a mind that speaks with the voice of Christ. Peace. Be still. Not to the outer storm. To this one. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. Don't try to get rich. No, you are rich.